are, folks, at the famous Polo Grounds. It's been a one-sided knockdown, drag-em-out ball game right from the very first inning. With the visiting team, the Birdie Gashouse Gorillas, giving the home team, the Teetotalers, a shellacking they'll never forget. Baseball fans, oh, there goes a screaming liner into left field. Home team hasn't a chance, but they're in there punchy, nevertheless.
I'm only 93 and a half years old.
Ball!
I don't know what could have come over me, sir. I meant to say strike.
Listen to that crowd roar as the Gashouse Gorillas go up to bat again. Boy, what a game!
So you think you can beat us all by yourself? Well, you got yourself a game.
Attention, please. Attention. There's been a slight change in the teetotaler lineup. Catching, Bugs Bunny. Left field, Bugs Bunny. Right field, Bugs Bunny. Pitching, Bugs Bunny. Third base, Bugs Bunny. Center field, Bugs Bunny. First base, Bugs Bunny. Shortstop, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny.
Thank you.
what's with the Carrot League baseball today?
Bugs Bunny, 96. Gas House Gorillas, 95. It's the last half of the ninth with Bugs leading 96-95. The Gorillas have one man on base and two out. A home run now would win the game for the Gorillas.
Watch me pace this pathetic palooka with a powerful, paralyzing, perfect peccadoimus percussion pitch.
Shouldn't have swung strike one. She called me watching the pitch, enjoying the view, strike two. Well, then the third strike came at an out-of-town game. I don't know how she found out. Though I pleaded my case, I didn't make first base. Three strikes and you're out. I said it weren't nothing but a seventh inning stretch, but she caught me scratching on a 7-year itch. She sent me on down with the Mudville Rats, and from now on I gotta check my own stats. I swore up and down it'd be the last time. She said lying must be the new national pastime. We started out close, ended in a rout. Three strikes and you're out. I was having too much fun, I shouldn't have swung strike one. She called me watching the pitch, enjoying the view, strike two. Well, now the third strike came at an out-of-town game. I don't know how she found out. Well, I pleaded my case, I didn't make first base. Three strikes and you're out. Shouldn't have swung strike one. She called me watching the pitch, enjoying the view, strike two. Now the final strike came in an out-of-town game. I don't know how she found out. Though I pleaded my case, I didn't make first base. Three strikes and you're out. Well, I'm off of the field, I lost my appeal. Three strikes and you're out. They're engraving my name in the Hall of Shame. Three strikes and you're out!
The bases are loaded. Count is two balls and two strikes on Wierowski. Here comes the pitch. It's a long fly deep to right field. Miller's fading back, 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 drops his sunglasses over his eyes, and the son of a bitch dropped the ball with 3 on and 2 out.
September 23rd, 1908. Cubs against the Giants. Giants at the plate. Bridwell came to bat. There were 2 outs and 2 on. It was the bottom of the 9th. In the infield it was drawn. 2 weeks left in the season. Was a classic pennant race. Giants had a 1-game lead and the Cubs were giving chase. Polo grounds were rocking. Score was tied at 1. Moose McCormick was on third base and he was the winning run. Which brings us to Fred Merkle, whose name would soon be cursed. He was the other runner and he took his lead off first. Bridwell drilled a line drive out into right center. McCormick could have walked on home and the Giants were the winners. The polo grounds erupted. Thousands rushed the field. Players all ran for their lives with the fans right on the heels. Merkle was halfway to second by the time McCormick scored. But then Merkle made a beeline straight for the clubhouse door. Pulled the door to the clubhouse. It was in the outfield wall. Merkle never did touch second, and the Cubs retrieved the ball. Throw back to the infield, reached the wrong couple of hands. Giants coach McGinnity threw the ball up in the stands. And after a long deliberation, the ump ruled Merkle out. It would take too long to clear the field of this unruly crowd. And since night games were unheard of then, and it would soon be dark, he called the game a 1-1 tie and would have to sneak away from the park. Giants manager McGraw argued that this rule 59 never was enforced, so why should it be this time? But only 2 weeks earlier, it ran on all the wires. Same play happened to the Cubs and to the very same umpire. But none of the New York papers deemed the story fit to print. So it was that thanks to them, their team was ignorant. All throughout the baseball world and elsewhere, people knew it. Runner has to touch his base and Merkle didn't do it. So the matter was turned over to the baseball powers that be, who upheld the ump's decision, and they ruled prophetically that if the season were to end with the Cubs and Giants tied, they'd have to replay the Merkle game so the first place could be decided. Well, they replayed the Merkle game and feet 5-4-5. The Giants lost the pennant. Merkle was the bum. The papers let him have it. Well, they gave it to him good. They ran the kind of headlines only New York papers could. Well, they dubbed him Bonehead Merkle. They made up Merkle words. One might pull a Merkle, and to Merkle became a verb. Some would yell, touch second, bonehead, when it stood on first. Little kids yelled, moron, and the older kids, much worse. Whole life till 42 years later, in front of 35,000 former Merkle haters. Back there at the polo grounds for an old timers game, there was a long standing ovation when they announced Fred Merkle's name.
Weg, weil man schreit, wie wat war die Spiel, es ist ein verstanden, als man verspielt. Was ist 1, 2, 3 Streich bis 9 in der Baseball-Game?
Batter up. Let's go. You're holding up the game here. Score is 4-2. I'm losing. What the hell? But I've got the playlist here. We started with something I shouldn't even have to introduce to you. Baseball Bugs, a 1946 Warner Brothers cartoon. Everybody at one time was saying, first base, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny. Third base, Bugs Bunny. They were. I heard them. After that, we heard from Bill Kirchin and Too Much Fun, 3 strikes and you're out. Some son of a bitch dropped the ball. I don't know who that was. And then Chuck Brodsky from an album called The Baseball Ballads. We'll hear a couple from him. That was Bonehead Merkel. You hear the story about the Bonehead play. That was it right there. And then the Yiddish version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. So, where I'm sitting, it's October 1st, and basically the lineups have been pretty much decided. It's just decided who's going to be the wild card in the National League and whether Detroit or Minnesota is going to take the Central Division in the American League. It's pretty well set, though. Detroit only has to win one game, or Minnesota loses. Or same situation with the Rockies and or the Braves. I was rooting for the Braves for a while there, believe it or not, hoping they would oust the Phillies, but no such luck. Us Mets fans have nothing left to live for this year, so what can I tell you? I haven't seen a team as good as the Yankees in years, and as much as I hate the Yankees, they're going to go all the way. I don't see it happening any other way. It's going to be the Yankees against the Cardinals in the World Series. Yankees in 6. So we'll find out when that happens. World Series will happen in November this year. So we'll see if Jeter could be Mr. November again. Anyway, we got some more stuff for you. I advise you to keep your scorecards to yourselves. And we'll be back in a little while with the 7th inning stretch.
Extremely rocky for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 2-4, but with 1 inning left to play. So, when Cooney died at second, and Burroughs did the same, a pallor wreathed the features of the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go, leaving there the rest with that hope that springs eternal within the human breast. For they thought, if only Casey could get a whack at that, they'd put even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, and likewise so did Blake. And the former was a puddin', and the latter was a fake. So on that stricken multitude, a death-like silence sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single to the wonderment of all. And the much despised Blake tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and they saw what had occurred, there was Blake safe at second and Flynn a-hugging third. Then from the gladdened multitude went up a joyous yell. It rumbled in the mountaintops, it rattled in the dell. It struck upon the hillside and rebounded on the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was an ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then when the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance glanced in Casey's eye and a sneer curled Casey's lips. And now the leather covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in a haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
"That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said.
From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of a storm wave on the stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone on the stand. And it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult, and he made the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the spheroid flew, but Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two." "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and the echo answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey in the audience was all. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let the ball go by again. The sneer is gone from Casey's lips. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel vengeance his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball. And now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Side, you should have heard the manager as he sadly cried. Bases on balls, bases on balls. We gave them bases on balls. The pitcher had electric stuff but couldn't find the plate. And when he walked the bases full, the skipper couldn't wait. He yanked a starting pitcher and brought in another one. But in no time at all, the guy walked in the tying run. Bases on balls, bases on balls. They scored on bases on balls.
Play ball. When it's it's going rough. Come on, get tough, don't ever say die. Come on, you Cubs, play ball. Go Chicago, Chicago, let's keep that spirit high. Slam on a hit, let's get a rally going. Dark 'em and sark 'em, no matter what they're throwing. We're loyal one and all. So come on.
They're rocking all over town. There's a new sensation and it's really coming down. North side of Chicago, Waveland Avenue. There's magic in the air, a new point of view. It's been a long time now, too many years. Too many losses and too many tears. But that's all over now, gonna give it to you straight. The Cubbies are winning and man, it feels great.
Cubbies are rocking. Cubbies are rocking. Cubbies are rocking.
Walton and Smith, man, they got the speed with Sandberg and Braves. What more do we need? Balecki and Maddox firing away. Sutcliffe on the mound, what more can we say? Now Mitch is a man, Wild Thing is his name. He comes in late to save that game. He throws Damon or Joe behind the plate. They call him safe before it gets too late.
Cubs are rocking. Cubs are rocking.
John is a back, and then there's Andre Dawson. We're talking about the man that they call
Awesome.
Fast is the law, and Les has the zeros, and Popeye's the man that leads our heroes.
Zero.
Wayne, Harry, and Steve. Now, holy cow, the Cubbies are ready, ready right now. Going all the way in this windy old town. The Cubbies are rocking, gonna win that crown.
Cubbies are rocking. Cubbies are rocking.
The North Side Die Hard stole the show.
The land of Wrigley's in my soul. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Roll all day long.
Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. America's team, so I've been told. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Roll all day long. Come on, Cubbies, play it in the sun. Don't stop until you run. The Bleacher Bums are gonna have their fun. Roll all day long. It feels so good when you're home. Let's hear it for the Sunshine Boys.
You can't do no wrong.
On the road they beat them night or day. When they're at home they play the natural way. Come on, Cubbies, hey, 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 hey. Roll all day long. It feels so good when you're home. Let's hear it for the Sunshine Boys.
You can't do no wrong.
All your own clubs really can talk. Everybody knows they got the right stuff. Come on, people, how about those Cubs? Roll all day long. Roll all day long. Roll all day long.
Hello. You know me, don't you, babe?
I can't place your face, but your shadow is very familiar.
I'm Lou Gehrig. Now, do you remember me?
Remember you? After the past summer, I'll never forget you.
It's funny you didn't recognize me right away. I played on the same team with you all season.
Yes, but you were so close to me, I was afraid to look back to see who you were.
I gave you a great race, didn't I, babe?
Boy, you ran me raggy. Listen, Lou, how did you get the stalking home run?
It was like this. I watched you and read how much money you were getting, and I got to thinking.
Thinking? With what?
Never mind about with what. I went to college. Columbia, in fact. You've heard of Columbia, haven't you?
Sure, that's the college entirely surrounded with delicatessen stores and Yankee Scouts. How many years did you go to college?
I was 7 years in the freshman class.
They can't keep a guy 7 years in the same class.
That's what I tried to tell them.
What good did college do you? I didn't go to college, and look at me. I got further than you did.
I know, but only 6 or 7 home runs further. I'm young yet. Give me a chance. Say, babe, no fooling. You were my hero when I was in college.
Why did you have to pick on me?
You shouldn't be sore, babe. There's room for both of us in baseball.
Tell that to the enemy pitchers.
Do you remember when I first reported to the Yanks, babe?
Do I? You were so green, the groundkeepers tried to go over you with a rake.
I was just a raw student.
I don't know anything about the student part of it, but I'll tell the world you were raw. As a matter of fact, the first day you reported, I didn't see your face at all. I couldn't keep my eyes off your feet.
What was the matter with my feet?
They were so big, I thought you were standing in a couple of trucks. Is there any truth in the story that you sell old shoes for bungalows?
Oh, never mind my feet.
I don't mind them if you don't.
You're no Apollo Belvedere yourself.
Know who?
Apollo Belvedere. You know who Apollo Belvedere was, don't you, babe?
He's one of those new Washington pitchers, ain't he?
Gee, but you're dumb, babe.
Hey, listen, Big Feet. Don't you call anybody dumb. When you first joined the Yanks, you were so dumb, we had to number all the players so you could find out which side you played on.
Gee, was I that bad?
Lou, I don't want to be hard on you. You're a good kid, and I like you. But you were so dumb, you thought the St. Louis Cardinals were appointed by the church. When Huggins told us we were to meet the senators, you thought we were going into politics. You thought that inside baseball was played in the house.
You ain't so smart either. Say, babe, tell me something. Is it true that you eat 20 hot dogs during a baseball game?
That's one of those fool lies. Why, 20 hot dogs during a game would kill any man.
I know it.
A man who would eat 20 hot dogs is a pig during a ball game.
Of course he would.
Well, you didn't really believe that of me, did you, Lou?
Of course not. How many do you eat during a ball game, babe?
19.
Say, babe, you've taken off quite a bit of weight in the past 4 years.
Look at my figure, kid.
All you've got to do now is to diet 10 or 15 more years and you'll almost look human.
Boy, I'm careful at what I eat these days.
Listen, babe, you have a farm where you grow your own food, don't you?
Yes, I have a farm.
Is it a nice farm?
Well, it better be, or I'm out a lot of money.
What do you raise there?
A lot of things. Celery, for instance.
Really? You raise celery?
Of course. What's a surprise?
I thought Colonel Rupert was the fellow that always raised your celery.
I said celery, not salary. You know what celery is, don't you?
Sure I do. I had a roommate once who used to keep me awake all night, eating it in bed.
You won the China automobile.
Say, babe, speaking of automobiles, what's the matter with you lately? You haven't hit anybody with your automobile.
It's getting harder and harder. There are too many motorists after the same jaywalker these days.
And I haven't read of your being arrested for speeding lately either.
I've found a way to avoid that.
How?
When a policeman stops me, I autograph the car and give it to him as a souvenir.
Gee, it must be great to get $500,000 a year like you do.
Money isn't everything, Lou.
That's what Colonel Rupert said when I asked him for a raise.
In this game, Lou, you must start from the bottom and work up.
Say, babe, why did you start your baseball life as a pitcher?
In those days, I thought a man should work for a living.
Gee, what a great year the Yanks had this season.
Not so good.
What do you mean, not so good?
We lost a couple of games, didn't we?
Yeah, I guess that was when I wasn't hitting. I've got to practice up this winter and bat better.
If you bat any better next year, I'll put nails in your breakfast food. Listen, Lou, did it ever occur to you that you get a great fake batting after me?
How come?
A pitcher is under a great strain when pitching to me. And after I strike a home run, he is an easy mark for you fellas.
Is that so? And how about the effect on a pitcher when you've nearly broken your back swinging like a gate and struck out by a mile? He ain't so nervous facing the fellas who come up after you then, is he?
Even when I strike out, I do it so hard that I scare the pitcher to death.
No matter how you cut that stuff, it's still baloney. Why, as a matter of fact, you get the break.
How?
When you go to bat, the pitcher always knows that I'm up next. What's the result? He's so nervous, he puts one right where anybody could knock it out of the lot.
Now I'll tell one.
All joking aside, babe, what is the secret of your home run hitting? How do you stand when you hit the ball?
I stood on flat on both feet until you came along.
And now what?
You have me on my toes.
Well, I'm going to keep you there, too.
Say, kid, lay off of that big mouth stuff.
I didn't mean anything personal, babe.
Okay, Lou. I've got to be beating it along now.
So have I. You know, we've been talking for the phonograph. You don't suppose you've broken the record, do you?
Between the two of us, we've broken all kinds of records. Say goodbye to the folks.
Goodbye. See you all next season.
How will they know with you when they see you?
They'll know you, won't they?
Of course they'll know me.
Well, wherever they see you, they'll know I'm the guy that's right on your heels. So long,
so long, folks.
A is for Alex, the great Alexander. More goose eggs he pitched than a popular gander. B is for Bresnahan, back of the plate. The Cubs were his love, and McGraw was his hate. C is for Cobb, who grew spikes, not corn, and made all the basemen wish they weren't born. D is for Dean, the grammatical diz, when they asked who's the tops, said correctly, I is. E is for Evers, his jaw in advance, never afraid to tinker with chance. F is for Fordham and Frankie and Frisch. I wish he were back with the Giants, I wish. G is for Gehrig, the pride of the stadium. His record pure gold, his courage pure radium. H is for Hornsby. When pitching to Raj, the pitcher would pitch, then the pitcher would dodge. I is for me, not a hard-sitting man, but an outstanding all-time incurable fan. J is for Johnson. The big train in his prime was so fast he could throw three strikes at a time. K is for Keeler, as fresh as green paint, the fustest and mostest to hit where they ain't. L is Lajoie, whom Clevelanders love, Napoleon himself with glue in his glove. M is for Matty, who carried a charm in the form of an extra brain in his arm. N is for Newsom, Bobo's favorite kin. If you asked how he's here, he tucked himself in. O is for Ott of the restless right foot. When he leaned on the pellet stayed put. P is for Plank, the arm of the A's. When he tangled with Matty, games lasted for days. Q is Don Quixote, Cornelius Mack. Neither Yankees nor years can halt his attack. R is for Ruth. To tell you the truth, there's no more to be said. Just R is for Ruth. S is for Speaker, swift center field tender. When the ball saw him coming, it yelled, I surrender. T is for Terry, the giant from Memphis, whose 400 average you can't overemphasize. U would be Ubble if Carl were a Cockney. We say Hubble and baseball, like football and Rockney. V is for Vance, the Dodgers' own Dazzy. None of his rival could throw as fast as he. W. Wagner, the bow-legged beauty. Short was closed to all traffic with Honus on duty. X is the first of two X's in Fox, who was right behind Ruth with his powerful socks. Y is for Young, the magnificent sigh. People batted against him, but I never knew why. Z is for Zenith, the summit of fame. These men are up there. These men are the game.
It was one of the most exciting moments in baseball. With a count of 3-2 on the batter and the World Series at stake, the pitcher burned a hot one over the plate and... wait a minute, gang. Hey, where the hell is page 8?
Evening fans, in just a moment, that famous breakfast food, Carlson's Diced Salami, sprinkle some on your cornflakes, brings you the most important off-season sporting event since Raymond Navarro retired from active chariot racing. The crucial international baseball contest between the Yucatan Grave Robbers and the Winnipeg Granary Five. This is the first time in history that a five-man team will be used. This is because the other 20 men on the squad are doing a stand-up on the Ed Sullivan Show. They don't have a catcher, so the pitcher will have to race to the plate and receive his own pitch. That's the first time that's been done. And now here is Ole Latouche in tonight's commercial. Oh, have you tried? Thank you, Ole. Baseball fans, is a mighty throng of 55,000 out here tonight. Among them, 54,000 knothole kids who all sneaked in through the knothole. Other celebrities out here today are Wrong Way Corrigan, Sesuhawa Kaya, Eric von Stroheim, and the March Twins.
Eddie, in your opinion, who'll pitch today?
Well, Sal, my opinion is that the pitcher for Winnipeg will be Klondike Matisse.
How did you figure that out, Ed?
Well, they just announced it.
How does he deliver a pitch, Ed?
Well, I'll tell you, Sal. Matisse is a northpaw, and therefore has an unusual windup. He sits down on his mound, winds up with both legs, and spits the ball out of his mouth.
I see.
Yes, once the ball is hit, Matisse is off the mound like a gigantic hound, scoops the ball up with his shovel lip, and whips it over to first.
How long does that play take?
20 minutes.
What about the runner?
Well, he scores, but it's a spectacular play.
Well, Ed, who would you say is the Yucatan Grave Robbers' greatest batting threat?
Their first baseman, Quetzalcoatl.
Where did they get him?
Well, they found Quetzal, who, by the way, is pushing 50, hawking papaya melons at Acapulco. He'll be known as the first bonus daddy. And Quetzal took it. Why not? He was mighty tired of papaya 3 times a day. Besides, he loves baseball. What's his batting stance, Ed? Well, Sol, Quetzal is a mighty man. He comes up to bat swinging 30 Indian war clubs. He throws 29 of them into the box seats and then straddles the plate and calls the pitcher names. Does he ever hit the ball over the fence? No, Sol. When the ball is thrown, Quetzal, with his arms mighty as oak trees, hammers the ball into the ground some 8 or 10 feet. Then he runs around the bases before they can dig the ball out. Would you call that a ground ball? Well, frankly, I'd call it an underground ball. Now, here's Ole with another commercial. Oh, have you tried? Thank you, Ole. Well, we're all set. Matisse is out there on the mound. Stepping up to the plate is Quetzalcoatl. He throws a few bats into the boxes. Selects the war club he wants, and the umpire cries, play ball! All set now. Matisse sits down on his mound, winds up with both legs, and spits the ball out of his mouth. Just a moment, something very strange has happened. It seems that the umpire was dusting off the plate at the time, and the ball entered somewhere in the region of his trunk. The exact location will be determined in the autopsy tomorrow. You got the official rulebook scoring on that play, Sol? Right here, Ed, head. If ball enters head around medulla region, both ball and umpire are pronounced dead. If, however, ball enters thoracic cavity in the proximity of the spleen or lower abdomen, it is officially in play since it is recoverable on the operating table. Are you sure that's official, Sol? It's official, Ed. You gotta be careful these days. How true, Ed? How true? Well, folks, the other two umpires have come to the conclusion that the game should be postponed since it has just started snowing down here in Rio for the first time in over 200 years. Is that official, Sol?
That's what Uncle Webby says.
I see. And now let's hear a closing word from Ole Latouche. Oh, have you tried? Good night, folks.
Arrivederci.
Beep, beep, bop, bop, boom, boom, boom. Who sticks needles full of steroids in his bum? Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds. What's he on? That Barry Bonds. He's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why's everybody always picking on me?
He's got bad knees, still trying to catch Ruth. And Hammer and Hank Aaron didn't have to use the juice. Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, no brains all wrong. He's Barry Bonds, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why's everybody always picking on me?
Who's always flying over walls? Who's always shooting in the halls? Who's got tiny shriveled balls?
Yes, you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
He walks in the ballpark, achy and slow, and whines to the TV press and even radio. Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, what's he on? That Barry Bonds, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why's everybody always picking on me?
Take baseball and shove it. I ain't watching it no more. The owners done went and called off the season. The money grubbing whores, they're never gonna get another nickel from me, 'cause I'm a walking out the door. Take baseball and shove it. I ain't watching it no more. I've been buying them season tickets for pert near 15 years. All this time I spent my money on overpriced souvenirs. I bought a lot of hats and stupid little bats when I had a bunch of bills to pay. I wish that I could take it all back. I don't give a hoot if they play. Take these bats and shove them. You ain't swinging them no more. The players walked out on the best damn season in 40 years or more. I really don't care if they came back today, 'cause I'll be watching some other sports. So take these bats and shove them. You ain't swinging them no more. So take baseball and shove it where the sun don't shine no more. Or as we say over at my place,
Don't let the door hit you where the pig bit you. I bet poor Joe DiMaggio's spinning in his grave. Joe DiMaggio's still alive. Oh, he is? Oh, sorry, Joe. Can we take that again?
Okay. We have reached the seventh inning stretch portion of the show here. So stretch them if you got them. You're listening to the third in a series of KBC Bit Slaps on baseball. You can go back and find the other two if you missed them. This is the end of season edition. In case you haven't looked out the window, it's October now. And we started this set with Casey at the bat from Jackie Gleason, one of his characters on the TV show. I'm supposing it doesn't really say here what it is, but we know who. That's all that counts. Following that, Honky Tonk Confidential and Bases on Balls. And then we had a couple of Chicago Cubs songs in honor of Barack Obama's attempts to bring the Olympics to Chicago. We heard from Anonymous, our good friends Anonymous, and Come On You Cubs, Play Ball. The Cubbies Are Rockin' from Aggravation, and The Land of Wrigley from Stormy Weather. We won't know, and we'll know by now how the Olympics bid went, but as of today, nobody knows. So just so you know, today where I'm standing, it's October 1st, just so you know. We heard from the originals, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, some sort of comedy routine. God knows where that came from. Actually, I can tell you where it came from. It came from a website that I found. I'm getting it up on the screen here. Called The Dead Ball Era. And there was a vault of audio material in there, a lot of which is used on today's show. Just to give them credit, deadballera.com. Check it out. It's really pretty cool. Where was I? The lineup for yesterday was Bob Edwards, an NPR guy. And then Eddie Lawrence, you know, like, hiya, Bunky. That was Loco Baseball. And then the Barry Bonds Steroid song from another anonymous person. And Bob Rivers, Twisted Radio, Take Baseball and Shove It. All right, so that brings us up to where we are, seventh inning stretch. It looks like they're about to throw the ball again. So let's get back to the game. See you in a while.
Spit that brown stuff.
Well, the war had finally ended. America had changed. It had beaten back the Nazis, but the Jim Crow laws remained. And there was talk of staging marches, talk of civil rights, and there was talk about a Negro playing baseball with the whites. Well, he walked into the clubhouse, and the card players quit playing, and everybody stopped in the middle of whatever they were saying. And it was just like when the sheriff walks into the saloon and he says, "My name is Eddie," as he looks around the room. This man's here to play baseball. The manager said to the team, "We're all gonna have to live with this." Oh, that's not what I mean. You know what I mean. And they all did. It went without saying. And the card players looked at their hands and they went on with their playing. Well, they ran
field before a game in Birmingham one night. They made him sit up in the grandstands in the section marked for whites. In his Cleveland Buckeyes uniform, there was a new twist on the law. The marshals kept their eyes on him and the hecklers ate him raw. Eddie Clappy should have run the bases in reverse. The white man in the Negro leagues, well, that had to be a first. He could not ride the same buses, stay in the same motels, and he could not eat in the same restaurants. He couldn't have mixed clientele. So while Jackie played for Brooklyn and wore the Dodger blue, Eddie crossed the color line, the one without a cue. A white man in the Negro leagues might as well have been a Jew. And now you mention the name of Eddie Clapp, and most everyone says who?
And clap our hands, and jazz is jazz. Those rival pitchers on the mound all shake. They dread each windup that they have to take. When number 8 is standing at the plate, and then he swings. Wow, there it goes again. Wow, there it goes again. Wow, there it goes again. A rival batter hits one off the wall, and there's Yastrzemski going for the ball. They try for two, the runner knows he's through. Ah, look at Yaz! Wow, he threw him out again. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, the man they call Yaz. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, he's the idol of Boston, Mass. On Beacon Hill, he gives them quite a thrill. In Southie, too, there's lots of whoop-de-doo. In the North End, they call Carl friend, and they hope the season will never end. From Wellesley Way, they come to watch him play. And on Cape Cod, they take a holiday from all about. They come to shout, yell for Yaz to hit one out. The state of Maine is going quite insane. And in Vermont, it's only Yaz they want. From every state, they come and wait to see Yastrzemski at home plate. Our Boston team, it's always on the beam, 'cause we got Yaz. We Fenway fans, we stomp and clap our hands at Yaz's jazz. Although Yastrzemski is a lengthy name, it fits quite nicely in our Hall of Fame. We love him so. In Boston, we all know that when he swings, yeah, here we go again.
Are you leaving, Billy Martin? Seems that life is just a game. You have managed to keep winning just to lose what you have gained. It's back to Denver, Billy Martin, going back to start again. You thought that they were with you, but
put your hand in your back pocket and look them in the eyes and tell them you can't win them all. But you're damn sure that you try. Politics and poker are part of every day, but the boys in the front office ain't seeing things that way. Put a thousand sheets of paper with 100,000 names, tell you that we're not all thankless and we need you just the same. Put your hand in your back pocket and look them in the eye. Tell them you can't win them all. But you're damn sure that you've tried. Are you leaving Billy Martin? It's a shame, it's a shame. Are you leaving Billy Martin? It's a shame, it's a shame. Are you leaving Billy Martin? It's a shame.
I'm here to tell you about a baseball man likes we haven't seen in a while. He flip his cap around, fire up the crowd. Earl had his very own style. 17 years in the orange and black, 2,500 games. Earl was a baseball architect, inventor of the Oriole way. Earl Weaver, the Earl of Baltimore. Favorite way to score. Yeah, 91 times he crossed the line and the umpire showed him the door. Earl Weaver, the Earl of Baltimore.
That was a great game that Drysdale pitched last night. No, it wasn't last night. It was the night before, and it wasn't Drysdale. It was Koufax. Or was it? Wait a minute. Hey, Joe. Oh, yeah. No. Wait a minute. Now I'm all fouled up over here. Now, I don't remember. It was night before last. To hell with it. Let's go on.
Hey, Ozzy. Hey, Ozzy.
On the day after Christmas in 54, the greatest shortstop to ever play was born. A fleet-footed switch hitting acrobat piece. The Wizard of Oz, there's no doubt about that.
Hey, Ozzy!
Catch that ball.
Hey, Ozzy!
You're the best of all. Osborne Earl, now that's his name. Brought a brand new level to the game.
Hey, Ozzy! Hey, Ozzy!
The Cardinals knew they got a special gift. And he took the field with his back flip, diving left to right, soaring up and down on the yellow brick road to Cooperstown.
Hey, Ozzy!
Yeah, catch that ball.
Hey, Ozzy!
You're the best of all. The Wizard of Oz, now that's his name. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Ozzy!
Feeling he learned to hit in the 85 playoffs, gave the Dodgers a fit. But sort of thought this was just a hoax till Jack Buck said, go crazy, folks.
Hey, Ozzy!
Playoff MVP.
Hey, Ozzy!
He can bunt or he can take you deep. Try going up the middle, he'll make you pay by turning your hit into a double play.
Hey, Ozzy!
Frisch, Enos, Red and Dizzy, Stan the Man, Luke, Brock and Gibby. They're making his plaque and etching his face so the Wizard of Oz can take his place.
Hey, Ozzy!
He's number one with love.
Hey, Ozzy!
He's got 13 gold gloves. He played in 15 All-Star games. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Ozzy!
Coming in to close out the ninth inning for the Bravos, it looks like it's going to be John Rocker. And judging from this crowd reaction, I guess this inning will be brought to you by a flashlight battery company.
John Rocker, your proctologist called. They just found your head. You've been awarded the golden rubber glove for that stupid crap you said. You got the biggest mouth in baseball. Nobody could shut you up. So in New York, even in your street clothes, you probably ought to wear a cup. John, you're off your rocker. Better clean out that locker or go out and throw about 22 perfect games. They're saving you a spot next to Marge Schott in the Dips Hall of Fame. John Rocker, Detective Furman called. He knows how you feel. And I'll bet you Congressman David Dukes would probably help with your appeal. They hate to see you get suspended or have to pay that 20 grand. So if you can't close for the Braves anymore, you can start for the Ku Klux Klan. John, you're off your rocker. Thank God you don't play soccer, 'cause you'd probably get killed in a riot in the stands. If you do an interview again, Ted said he's bringing in a gay right-handed pitcher from Japan.
I'm a fan. Playoffs are coming. No sex for a week.
My wife says she loves it. Now she gets her sleep. My daddy done told me to respect the past, to sing about legends, so heroes will last, like Ty Cobb, Willie Mays, hey, hey, Sammy Fire, Dr. J, hey, hey. I'm a fan, I spell F-A-N, fan. Read the sports with my coffee, I get the sporting news. I call the sports talk shows to scream at my views. $29.95 to sit in the rain, and all those jocks, they think they know pain. Camped out 12 hours to get a good seat. Froze my toes from my head to my feet. I'm up when they're up, I'm down when they're down. I live for this team, cause they play for my town. I'm a fan, I spell F-A-N, fan. The weather, did we win, did we lose? If I was the coach, they'd win every game. All my friends in the bar, they feel just the same. And if those lousy refs don't see things my way, you see them rip off their stripes on the video replay. I'm a fan, I spell F-A-N.
Okay, hey, that was a pretty good game, I thought. Especially like the way KBC came back in the ninth inning and won. Final score 6-4. Yay me. Well, regardless. I'd like to point out that you can find a lot more information about these songs on my playlist page. I just don't like to waste your precious time yakking at you, that's all. For example, reading of the playlist could be left better to somebody who can read. We started with Chuck Brodsky. Chuck lives in New England somewhere. He's a Red Sox fan. Don't hold it against him. That was the Ballad of Eddie Klepp. Story of the man, the white man, who tried to get into the black leagues. I didn't know about that until I heard the song. After that, Two by apparently somebody named Randy Now. This came off of the Dead Bowl Era page, and I was unable to find anything about anybody named Randy now or then or ever, so I'll just take their word for it. We heard Carl Yastrzemski and the Ode to Billy Martin. And as much as I hate the Yankees, I always adored Billy Martin just because he had that certain thing. You know, I wish he'd been the manager of the Mets, but that's the way it goes. After that, Jack Flack and Earl Weaver, another great manager from days gone by. Earl's still hanging in there. I think he still works somehow with the Orioles organization. And then we heard the Hank Kimball report on the Dodgers. The Wizard of Oz was Sam Bush Band. And Tim Wilson, the Ballad of John Rocker. Remember John Rocker? Do you know he came this close to being a Met? Whew, man, that was close. And then The Window, again, I'm a fan. That came off the other side of something we heard a couple weeks ago about the Cleveland Indians. And you want to talk about a team hurting. There they are. So that does it for this week. You know, maybe we'll have another baseball show sometime around pitchers and catchers. I have a lot more material that I didn't get to. So maybe we'll do it then. In the meantime, enjoy the World Series. Enjoy whatever else you've got going on. The FMU Record Fair is coming up really soon. I'll probably see you there. Don't forget to check my web, the playlist page. And if you have any questions, you can get a hold of me at kbcradio@hotmail.com. Got one more for you. It's not that much of a mystery. It's Chuck Brodsky, and it's another tribute song. I'll see you later. Have a good one. Goodbye.
In the guest